Hello everybody, this is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for Sunday, August the 15th. It's about Martha and Mary. August the 15th. If this date falls on weekdays, it's a public holiday, but not this year. Why do we have this holiday? In fact, it's the date of a religious holiday observed around the world by many Christians. And in very secular France, the date of this religious holiday has been declared a holiday. As indeed, on December the 25th or November the 1st, Easter and Pentecost Mondays, they are still the holidays of the Catholic Church. Do not try to understand the logic of these public holidays in a France which is so attached to its secularism. Why do Catholics celebrate on August the 15th? It's the assumption of Mary, Mother of Jesus, the belief that she was taken up into heaven, like other biblical figures, like Enoch, like Elijah, like Jesus. Except the assumption of Mary is not in the Bible. Is this religious festival an old one? The origin dates back to the reign of Louis the 13th, 1610 to 1643. Having difficulty having an heir with his wife Anne of Austria, the king begins to pray to the Virgin Mary. Processions in the parishes are even organised on August the 15th. There is a miracle. In 1638, the little Louis, who will become Louis the 14th, is born. Louis the 13th then decides that August the 15th will be a national holiday in honour of the Virgin Mary. August the 15th is all the more important since it was originally chosen to be the national day in France for some time. Finally, the date of the 14th of July is definitively declared a national holiday in 1880, while August the 15th remains a simple public holiday for religious reasons. As for the term of Assumption, it does not appear until 1950 when Pope Pius XII decides to make a dogma out of this conviction that Mary would have ascended to heaven without dying. It is Catholics and the Orthodox who believe this about Mary, Mother of the Lord Jesus, but neither the Evangelicals nor Protestants hold this belief. And again, the Catholics and the Orthodox do not have quite the same conception. But let's move on. In short, they say that August the 15th is the feast of Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Like us Evangelicals, we don't venerate her. We don't celebrate her, so I'm going to talk about another Mary in the New Testament instead. Ah, but which one? There are indeed several. Mary, called the wife of Cleopas, Mary of Magdala. In the book of Acts we find Mary, the mother of Mark, and yet another Mary is mentioned in the Epistle to the Romans. But Mary, Martha's sister, does that remind you of something? Martha and Mary had a brother, Lazarus. Do you see now who I'm talking about? He was the one who was sick. His sisters sent someone to call Jesus, but Lazarus is already dead when Jesus arrives 3 days later and finally resuscitates Lazarus. These siblings lived in Bethany, a village 3 kilometres from Jerusalem, a place where Jesus passed several times, as the various evangelists mention. Now let's read our main text in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted with all the preparations she had to make. So she came up to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part. It will not be taken away from her." In verse 38, the word they refers to Jesus and a certain number of disciples. Well, rather an uncertain number. The text does not tell us if it was the 12 apostles or perhaps just his three disciples, the closer ones, Peter, James and John. In any case, there were several of them. One might have thought that Jesus alone entered the village, but this does not hold up in view of the fact that in verse 39, Jesus was teaching. There was an audience around him from the start. He enters rather designates the fact that it is Jesus, the Lord, who makes the decision to enter this village and to knock on the door of Martha, whom he knew well. Jesus and his disciples needed a restaurant or even a hotel, but there was no Booking.com or TripAdvisor, no Ibis budget hotel in the area. They are therefore welcomed into Martha's house, and obviously Jesus does not sit in the chair in a relaxed mode, but he continues to speak, to teach, and a woman is seated at his feet to listen to him. It is Mary, the sister of Martha. During this time that Jesus was teaching, Martha was busy with many tasks. You see, Jesus hadn't texted her a few hours in advance saying, "Can I come and have supper at your place tonight with my companions?" So Martha has a lot to do. Allow me to transpose a little to better understand. She had to take some meat out of the freezer and put it in the microwave to thaw, take out the appetizers, peanuts and pastis, look for ice cubes, put the rosé in the fridge, set the table. You know what it's like when you have people come to eat at your home, especially if they descend on you out of the blue. Alas, poor Martha. She did not have all these comforts, these household appliances, at the time of Jesus. So imagine the work. Really, Martha has a lot to do, and I understand her annoyance faced with the task. She panics. And there's no help, especially not from her sister. Martha starts to boil internally, and it comes out externally when she doesn't ask her sister Mary to come and help her there and then, but only when she interrupts Jesus, who is teaching, and almost makes a reproach to the master, saying, "But you are oblivious to the work you give me to do. I could use a little help. And you could at least tell my sister to come and help me." It is daring to go and interrupt the teaching of Jesus. So either Martha is very comfortable with the Lord, who she has known for some time already, or she is very angry with her sister. A bit of both, probably. Jesus is going to answer Martha by pronouncing her first name twice, in breathing out, I suppose a bit like this, "Ah, Martha, Martha." It's like saying, "Come on, calm down." The Lord, instead of giving compliments to Martha for all her efforts and acquiescing to her request, instead he gives her an answer that goes against what she was hoping for. He describes in verse 41 what Martha carried out, her service, like being worried and troubled. You see, sometimes we don't have the same perception of what's going on. Martha is preparing a good dinner. Jesus says she's worried and troubled. We interpret the situation, each in his own way. We are different. Same situation, different interpretations. What did Jesus say to Martha? "Only one thing is needed." Ah, okay then. How does Martha take that? "Master, do you only want a main course? No apero, no appetizer, no salad, no cheese, no dessert?" Assuming that Martha was cooking French-style food. "Only one thing is needed." Jesus does not speak of the number of dishes, but of having priorities. And he goes so far as to say that Mary made the right choice, which suggests that she made a better choice than Martha. Mary chose the best part. And Martha said to herself, certainly she chose the best path. She chose the easiest part, to do nothing at all. But that's not what Jesus meant. Mary was concerned with spiritual nourishment, that of the soul, while Martha deals with physical, carnal food. Look after the physical, the body. But not only did Martha receive a cold shower, she will still have a second, for Jesus' reproach does not end there. Not only does he imply that Martha made a bad choice, but in addition that it will have served her for nothing. For Mary, the best part will not be taken away from her. But Martha, or after all her labour, she will only have the dishes and the leftovers to deal with. Martha wants a change in her sister's behaviour. Jesus asks for a change of mind, a conversion. In our current society, a lot is focused on achieving a change in behaviour. We no longer ask people to think, we ask them to act in one way and not another, without them knowing or understanding why. That's the whole point of marketing, of advertising. We don't provide information so that people can decide for themselves what to buy, where and when. No, we influence them, we manipulate them into buying what these sellers want to sell, into behaving how the influencers decide for them. Change of intelligence or behaviour, it's a question of values. This story of Martha and Mary refers me to this other word of the Lord. Jesus, when he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness of God." This verse comes after a speech that talks of worries. What are we going to eat and drink? And precautions for the future, to stock up on food. Human concerns, they are legitimate, but they are sometimes exaggerated. In any case, this is what emerges from the Greek words in our Gospel text. Martha put the turbo on. This is what the word translated by our version of "you are agitated." Martha takes care of a lot of things at the same time. It is heading straight for burnout. And Jesus said that Mary, who does nothing, had made the right choice. There is a choice in life to take care of lots of things at the same time, or to do only one thing, listen to the Lord, to be at his feet. Martha would like Mary to do lots of things at the same time as well. Martha wants a change in her sister's behaviour. Jesus appreciates that Mary listens. He desires a change in her intelligence. Then there will be a lasting change in behaviour. Martha wants a change of behaviour instantly, at this moment, in this situation. She wants to directly influence her sister's behaviour. Jesus desires a lasting change where, based on a transformed intelligence, Mary can make the right decision in each situation for herself instead of having become the object of her sister's desires. This is the true freedom that Jesus desires for us through his teaching. Don't be influenced by others for your behaviour. Do not be their object, but on the contrary, be led to discern for yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit what the will of God is for you in each situation. It is not trivial what I am saying here. We are in a time when we are evolving from a culture of written education towards a visio-audio culture, where things go quickly, have no written records. They influence us without having the opportunity to think about it for ourselves. We are in a culture of influencers. That is a culture where those who know how to influence others will turn them into objects, not free beings. Jesus came for us to be set free. There are Marthas and Marys in the church, in every church. And we tend to say that Mary is the good disciple, where Martha, blah, 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 she didn't understand anything. Here again, conclusions that are too hasty are drawn. I remind you of chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Lazarus is sick. We have just heard from Jesus, who is slow to go there. Finally, when he goes, it is again Martha who runs to meet him, while Mary, she remains seated. John chapter 11, verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she came to meet him, while Mary remained seated at the house. Mary does not run to the Lord. Martha is there already. Here we could say that Martha is active, Mary is passive. Mary, would she be lazy by nature? The one that seems the most spiritual in our main text today is not very active. The one who seems to be less spiritual, Martha, is much more active. What do you want in the church? Non-active, super spiritual people, or active people who seem less spiritual? We do not have a choice. We need both, spiritual and active people. Let's go back to our story. Jesus teaches, Mary listens, Martha is busy. Maybe too much. She could have opened a tin of duck confit and served it with a salad. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus visited Lazarus, Martha, and Mary several times. John expressly writes, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. One can think that the Lord appreciated the cooking of Mary. On these other occasions, Jesus let Martha keep busy and serve him without reproach. It is not serving or listening that is at stake. One is no less good than the other, but it is a matter of priorities. Listening first, then serving, and the balance, the alternation between the two. Sometimes you listen to so many messages. On YouTube, you have them for eternity before you run out of supply, that you can't find time to serve the church. And the opposite is also true. Sometimes we are so caught up in service to the church that we no longer find the time to listen. The right choice, Jesus said, is to take the time to listen. But nowhere does he say one should just listen and do nothing. Rather, he says he himself came to serve, so service should be a normal part of the life of his disciple, the Christian. Service to others, service in the church, certainly. Martha reproaches Mary. It resonates in our ears. In the churches, we can hear this kind of criticism. Such a person is inexhaustible on the messages they have listened to, on the churches she visited, but in her church she does nothing. It's a VVS. This could be an acronym, a very, very spiritual person. But when there is a call to clean up the church, that person does not respond. Obviously, all the examples are pure fiction and have nothing to do with the reality of this church here in Bergerac. On the other side, there are Marys in the church who criticise the Marthas, those who serve. They stir up the wind. There is another acronym, better known to us, TGVs. Let the Marys criticise by saying, we don't need all of this, the coffee, the reception, the sound system, it's superfluous. You just have to listen to the word. But do you still like to sit in a clean room, on a clean chair, go to a clean toilet? And you don't come when there is no one there to run the Sunday school or take care of your children. Or that we don't make the coffee before the service. Or that you have to come on foot because no one's come to pick you up. There is Martha and Mary. They both serve the Lord at a different pace, in a different way. But one is not better or worse than the other. It's just about setting the right priorities, getting things in order, and then being able to strike the right balance between the two. Not choose one or the other, but listen and serve. The two have their place. They go together. Mary, she has a different character than her sister Martha. We need the two sisters. Are you more of a Martha or a Mary? In the church, there is a diversity of gifts. The most spiritual and the most down to earth. Those who can preach, preside, lead a home group, but also those who paint, pull up weeds, teach in Sunday school or come at 9 a.m. to prepare for Holy Communion. The bread does not cut itself and the goblets do not fall from the sky filled with wine and grape juice. What are your spiritual gifts, or let's say your areas of expertise? How can you serve the Lord in the church? I return to our text in the Gospel of Luke. Mary chose the best part, that of being a disciple at Jesus' feet, listening to him. Jesus adds that it will not be taken away from her, and I say it for young people who make choices for their future. Make the right choice and use your time to study the Bible. What you will learn is for life. A year in Bible school is to lay a solid foundation for the future. It doesn't matter if you continue down this path or not. What is acquired will not be taken from you. It is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you additionally. But this is not just for young people. At any age, you can do a year at the theology faculty in a biblical institute. Sometimes this is the click it takes to know how to reorient your life. Reorient oneself. It has become very fashionable since COVID. The VVS does not know what the Lord's will is for his or her life. They wait for a clear call. They sometimes choose, like Mary, in action for fear of doing something that is not the Lord's will for them. That's because they read a verse, Colossians 1:11, and I'll read from verse 10, that John also quoted to us last Sunday. Therefore we too, from the day we learned about it, have not ceased to pray to God for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may behave in a manner worthy of the Lord, in order to please him from all points of view, that you bear fruit of all kinds of good works. May you grow in the knowledge of God. These verses connect the two things, spiritual intelligence which comes from hearing, reading the word, and good works. A little Martha in the Marys, a little Mary in the Marthas. There is also the parable of the sower, the grain that falls into the earth and produces, or not, fruit. Too often this verse is applied only to evangelism, he who has heard the message and is converted. But that's not all. God's will is not only our conversion. The will, the command of Jesus, is to love others. And how can we love, if not through actions? By gestures. Simple, modest. Here Martha has prepared a meal. God gives every disciple gifts. God adds people to the church. At the same time, the needs in the church are increasing. There are more children. Therefore, more monitors are needed for Sunday school or the nursery. More people coming from other countries. So again, there is need of the translation service. COVID with remote services, there is need for sound and video technicians. And the Marthas in the church, sometimes they are exhausted. A chain of Sundays during weeks of service. And they get annoyed sometimes with fatigue, aiding their annoyance. It's very understandable. So let's hear the voice of the Lord. Martha, Martha, stop. You too need time at the feet of the Lord. Mary, Mary, get up. You have received so much. Don't you in turn want to share this wealth by putting yourself in service? Martha, Mary, make the right choice. Martha, stop criticizing Mary. Mary, stop ignoring the needs in the church. We are in the middle of August. Many who are in the church regularly are on vacation. Others are here for the first time because they are on vacation. We represent together the body of Christ with the gifts that we have received, with our skills, with each one of us, our own church. Do you know the needs in your church? Which services are too heavy for the few Marthas available? Make inquiries. Take an inventory of your skills, your gifts. Make the right choice for your use of time. Seek the kingdom of God first, at the foot of the Lord, but also ensuring that your feet are shod with zeal. The story of Martha and Mary is not an event of more than 2,000 years ago. Nowadays, this is not fiction but reality. Some listen and do not serve. Others serve so much that they don't have time to listen. We have need of the Marthas and the Marys. It's all a question of balance. To bear fruit, to do those good works that the Lord has prepared for us in advance, and which can be of various kinds. Let us pray. Lord, listening to your word today leads us to think, am I a Mary or a Martha? Am I listening and passive, or on the contrary, very active but less available to listen to you? Am I criticizing the person who just listens, or rather the one who serves all the time? The TGV, which does not seem very spiritual. Lord, you love Martha and Mary, and in the service for your kingdom to become a reality, you need both Mary and Martha. So direct our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Direct our intelligence to discern if we have the right priorities, if we have the right balance between serving and listening. Make us well-balanced Marthas and Marys. May your kingdom come, and may it come through our united efforts, from each one according to the gifts you have entrusted to us. Amen.